It's time for us to talk money, even though sometimes it's too tight to mention. We all know that we are going through a difficult time, and that feels as though we are, and even that is an understatement. But there are some things we can do to try safeguard ourselves, give ourselves some cushions as we go through these difficult times. And so that's what we're discussing this week. Three crucial measures for protection for the next coming month or the next period of some turbulence in the South African sector. Joined as always by a certified financial planner, Paul Roelofse. Paul, a very good morning to you.
Hello, Gugu. Great to talk to you again. And I think while we want to frame this particular three-step program, it's a very conventional way of setting up a good financial plan, where you start off with looking at your assets and how they are protected against, you know, all sorts of life-changing events. So, for example, if you go to that storm, that vicious storm that we had down in the Cape the other day, you know, that was a risk on assets for many people. And the starting point in that case would be to go down to your insurance policy and just make sure that it covers you for what you think it does in the event of something like that happening. And it sounds pretty basic, but I think most of us take it for granted that, you know, we're insured for something and only find out too late that, you know, what we thought we were covered for wasn't really the key. So the point is to review that sort of thing. Your insurance is there for you if you don't have the money to replace the assets. And that's why we take it out. And we just must make sure that the policy is covering the right things. So the starting point in a good, sound financial plan is to make sure that we're insured. And not only our assets, but ourselves as well. You know, what happens if a loved one or someone who's a breadwinner in the family can't work any longer or passes on? What financial impact does that have on the family in terms of their future financial independence? So it's a review that needs to take place, and the starting point is normally the insurance side of your balance sheet, and see what the impact is if there is a life-changing event that's on the doorstep.
For many people, insurance is often the first thing to go when there's tough economic times. In fact, I think it was last year, there was some reporting about how South Africans were making cuts to insurance, to certain subscriptions, in a bid to free up some cash in their household budgets, because those household budgets are so stretched. But that seems that helps you and saves you in the short term. So you do improve in terms of your household liquidity. But if something were to happen, like you have one of those, you know, hectic hailstorms, or, you know, you are unable to work, you are then going to find yourself in a more expensive situation than if you did have the insurance.
Well, that's such an important point as well, Gugu, because, you know, we're tempted with insurance to say, let's cut the cost of it, because we don't really, you know, see the immediate need. But you are taking an extra risk now. So to mitigate risk by costs, you know, by cutting costs is always going to be a problem, because, you know, the Murphy's Law, isn't it? The moment you do that, something happens, and then you're further down the road financially in terms of financial impact. I'd look at it carefully, but if we relate it to, say, something like medical aid, you know, there are two sides to the medical aid plan normally. One is to cover you for out-of-hospital expenses and the other for in-hospital. So if you're looking at a plan like that and you want to mitigate in terms of the costs, then I think at least make sure that the big bills are covered. So keep the hospital side of that plan and maybe trim back on the out-of-hospital side, where your bills are a little bit more controllable and won't put you in that much of a financial problem. But the point is really to look at it very carefully, and if you don't understand it, it needs a financial planner or advisor to guide you through that. Get hold of your broker, get hold of your advisor, and let them walk you through on a review to see what the impact is. Just don't do it on your own without understanding what, you know, what the actual damage could be.
We often hear also that one of the things that we all need is this emergency fund, this contingency plan, And the number varies. Sometimes we get told we need 3 months. Sometimes we get told we need 6 months. Is that still a good idea? But also, if it is, what if I can't afford the full 6 months? Because my understanding is you establish enough, you put aside enough money to cover your living expenses should something happen. But, you know, just given the interest rate hikes, the cost of, you know, a basic basket of goods, fuel, etc., I don't know that very many people can have that kind of protection. So if I can only do some of it, is that still okay? Not ideal, but is it still okay?
Well, so, you know, something's always going to be better than nothing. In a sound financial plan, I would always stretch it to 6 months at least to make sure that I've got that safety net. If I lost my job or if I couldn't, you know, work for a period of time, needed something that was unforeseen, I can always dip into this particular fund. That's what it's for. The more you shorten it, the higher your risk goes up again in terms of what could happen, and you don't have enough money to support that. So 6 months is kind of like the bare minimum, really. The longer, the better. But you're quite right. You know, it becomes a strain too, because, and it's a very immediate fund. So, you know, the temptation to dip into it is quite high. So it's a point of financial discipline. But once it gets to that 6 months provision, you've got some peace of mind, haven't you, at the end of the day, that should something happen, I've got a 6 month provision to make a plan. And that's really why we set it up there. You know, one very good place to keep it, by the way, apart from a money market account, is also your access bond. And by keeping it in your access bond, for example, you're also working off that interest that the bank's charging you on your mortgage. So it's a kind of savvy thing to have it invested in an interest-bearing account. So you're not losing money, it's still invested. And I think that could also help you stretch it down the road a little longer should something happen. But to your point, you know, if you are going to trim back on it, just be very aware that you're actually making your provision that much more shallow, and you're actually exposing yourself to more risk if something of a more longer-term thing happens on your doorstep.
If you have something like income protection or dread disease cover, disability cover, so that in the event that you're unable to work, you can still draw some kind of income or you're compensated for that time, would that go as part of your emergency savings and contingency plan, or would that be part of your insurance?
Yeah, more of your insurance. You know, that's something that hasn't got a value until you need it. You know, where your emergency savings, however, is actual tangible cash that you need to have on your doorstep. Now, if the geezer packs in, if the car breaks down, you need new tyres, all those kinds of things, these are where your emergency fund will actually be very useful. But on an insurance side, the income protection side is really just on the insurance to make sure that if you were disabled, for example, or couldn't work for a temporary period of time, your insurance will kick in. It doesn't actually have a tangible value at the time before you use it, of course.
And then the final step is just to just keep checking if you have enough. I recently did this, actually. It was the first time I'd done it, an assessment of, you know, of everything I have, do I have enough? And actually, I thought I had enough, and it turns out I have a shortfall.
Well, sorry, you know, that's the sort of usual outcome. We think we've got a lot until we do the proper homework or not. And you need to constantly review your insurance and investments, in particular for the short, medium, and long term, and really understand how much they are providing for you, so you're not disappointed on your expectations. And I'm glad you did that review. And it shouldn't stop there, Google. You should be doing that at least once a year, you know, depending on how sophisticated your portfolio is and how closer you are to your financial objectives. But keep close to it is really the advice there. And while you're keeping close, really understand it and monitor it to see that is the long-term expectation playing out. You know, how are my investments doing towards my retirement, for example? Am I still on track is what you need the peace of mind around. So a constant review, keeping closer to a financial plan is more imperative now than I think in the past.
Paul, as always, it's great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks. Super, super. But have a great weekend.
You too. That's our resident certified financial planner, Paul Rulosa. If there is a personal finance question you'd like for us to discuss, send it through on WhatsApp on 0727021702. Send it through on SMS on 31702. If you'd like to send me an email, you can do so on Googs, that's GUGS, at 702.co.za.